about a minute too, but I think we can get going. Welcome to the February 8th, 2012 Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item on the agenda is roll call. Those present are Chair McIntyre, Commissioners Eckley, Jensen, Ray, York, and ex officio McClintock. Second item on the agenda is consent agenda. Item A is excusal of absences. To my knowledge, Brett Maddox is called in and will not be present, and because of a bus breakdown, Commissioner House will, if he makes it, will be extremely late. Move excusal of absences. All in favor, say aye.
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 Item B, meeting minutes. We have two sets of meeting minutes from January 11th and January 25th. Are there additions or corrections to those sets of minutes? If there are none, they stand approved as presented. Item 3 is design review. Item A is 715 North K Street, windows and doors. Is it Bloom or Blum?
Bloom.
Would you come up and please join us at
sure.
the table? And we'll begin with the staff report.
Thank you. This is a application for changes to windows and doors in the rear of the house at 715 North K Street. Built in 1928, the home is a contributing structure within the North Slope Historic Review District. The home has been altered over the years, including the rear addition, which is the location of the proposed work. The proposal is to remove and replace four non-original windows and one door, including trim, which are located on the rear addition, to accommodate an interior kitchen remodel. The proposed replacement windows are double-hung wood lintel windows, and the different size of the windows for counter height purposes. New siding to match the existing will be infilled. One of the windows located on the rear side of the addition will not be replaced. The opening will be covered and matching siding will be infilled. The existing non-original rear door will be replaced with a half-light wood door. The standards that apply, North Slope Historic Special Review District Guidelines, number 6 regarding exterior materials, and number 7 regarding rhythm of openings. Staff analysis presented to the commission. Item 1, the home on the property is historically significant as a contributing structure in the historic district. As part of the North Slope, it is listed on the Tacoma, Washington, and National Registers of Historic Places. Item 2, the commission has the jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building per TMC 1305047 prior to those changes being made. Item 3, the existing four rear double-hung wood windows and wood door appear to be non-original and are located on a rear non-original addition, which is difficult to see from the alley right-of-way. One of the windows proposed for removal is located on the side rear of the addition, and this will be covered, as said, with matching siding. The proposal, item 4, to remove and replace one non-original wood door and four non-original wood windows, including the trim on the addition. The replacements will utilize wood material that matches the existing materials in traditional configuration and design, thus meeting North Slope Historic District Review Guideline Number 6 regarding exterior materials and Guideline Number 7 rhythm of openings. Item 5, the purpose of the remodel is to accommodate improvements to the living space with an upcoming kitchen remodel. Item 6, there will be no change to the original form, massing, or roof pitch, and the applicant will repair or match existing materials, and therefore staff recommends adoption of the above as analysis and approval by the commission.
Mr. Bloom, is there anything that you'd like to add to the staff report?
No, I think that was pretty accurate.
Okay. With that, I will open up the discussion to commissioners for any questions or comments on the application.
I'll just say that I agree with the staff's analysis on this, and I would urge the commission to support the application.
All right, very good. Any other comments or questions?
Curious if you knew how old the addition was.
I don't. I was talking to Tony about that, and I don't know when it was done.
Yeah. We think it's fairly early, but because the house is built in 1928, the sandboard maps aren't much help because they kind of jumped from 1912 to 1950.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Yeah, I did some research too, and I couldn't find anything on it. So.
If there are no comments or questions, I would entertain a motion. Commissioner Jensen, would you please honor us?
Definitely. I move the Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission move forward with the application for 715 North K Street, Tacoma.
as is.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to approve the application as presented and a second. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Motion passes.
Well, thank you very much. So we'll be able to sign any permits immediately that you require, and we'll have a written decision in probably about a week.
Fantastic.
Great.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That concludes item three under design review. Item four under chair comments. We actually have an item A, which is the pavement nomination. And I will turn that over to staff for supplementary information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an item that has been sitting in my office for a couple of years, and Commissioner McClintock can chime in at any time or add, because this comes from him in the North Slope Historic District. But by way of background, first of all, you have the nomination. You should have a copy of what we have on file. A couple of years ago, we actually updated it to this form that we use now. What was submitted to us was done so a number of years ago on the previous version, so we put it into this. By way of background, this was submitted to our office, my office, in 2006, prior to Commissioner McClintock being on the commission, relating to several blocks of cobblestone and brick exposed streets that are in part of the North Slope Historic District, also straddling into the Stadium Seminary District. At the time these were submitted, these include North 9th, 10th, and 11th Streets, and at the time these were submitted, the city's landmarks code, or the landmarks ordinance, did not recognize streets as an eligible category for designation, and really what it came down to was the streets were not considered to be quote-unquote property, which was the key word definition that was used in the ordinance to define what landmarks were. So because of that, the nomination was not pursued, and it remained that way, streets being ineligible, until 2008. When the code was changed again, and that was corrected. At that time, the nomination was discussed by city staff in a number of different meetings with Public Works, and we have what we call the infrastructure team, which is an interdisciplinary, multi-departmental team that talks about infrastructure issues in the city, to discuss cobblestone streets in general, how many lane miles there were, what the conditions were, and so forth. And there was never really a consensus at that point that was determined. Part of it was we were trying to find out, would the city have a standard approach for treating these streets, what were their overall conditions, and so forth. At any rate, I've been requested to bring this back to the commission, which I'm happy to do, and I apologize because it really has been sitting in kind of a pending status for quite a while. The nomination is complete. If you look through the nomination, it's thorough. It contains photographs and maps showing the different locations of the streets. They are in varying condition, as well as an email from Jonathan Phillips, at the time chair of the North End Neighborhood Council, also endorsing the nomination. Following up on this, recently this week, I've talked with some staff at Public Works to talk about the outcomes of a nomination like this. Obviously, it would be a policy question for City Council, because the city ultimately would have to determine how these streets are treated, and Public Works, for instance, would have to determine if there's going to be repair standard, what they'd ask of the commission, or would they do it on a maintenance or as needed basis. The streets include sandstone and hard-fired brick. The sandstone, especially if you've driven out there, there are some substandard conditions that are there. The fact that the streets exist probably has to do with the fact there's not a whole lot of subsurface infrastructure underneath them that's been punched through. And so at any rate, that's kind of the gist of it. So the city's aware that this is back at the commission, and really, as staff seek direction from the commission, the nomination is essentially complete. The research is done, the geography is defined, and at this point, the only other feedback that I've had, and we'll have additional discussions on this should this go forward with Public Works, is that for the time being at least, Public Works, just due to the sort of the uncertainty of the cost around this, would probably not include these on any sort of upgrade or maintenance list for now. Meaning that there's many, if you're aware of the streets in Tacoma, there are many, many streets in Tacoma that have many outstanding needs on them. And so at this point, that's sort of their initial response, is they wouldn't mess with them. And so having said that, I'm here to seek direction from you. If you'd like this to be scheduled, certainly do so, and we'll take the next steps we need to take.
Are there comments from commissioners? Opposition to moving forward with the nomination? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that just to start a little bit earlier than Ruben did, we had already always assumed that these streets were included in our original nomination because they were called out in the city district nomination as well as in the national nomination. And then in a code update, Public Works had asked to exempt the streets in the district so that they wouldn't have to come to LPC for all of their street repair work, and which makes perfectly good sense that they would not have to do that. But of course, in making that change, that then essentially said that these several blocks were no longer protected. So the consequence of that was that we filed a nomination to specifically for these pavements, and then, of course, as Ruben said, that required a further change to the code that council did in 2008, I think it was. And then subsequently, I forgot about it until somebody asked me about it recently at a neighborhood meeting. So I asked Ruben about it. So here we are back again. And so basically, I would just like to move ahead with the nomination and see how it goes.
Again, I'll ask a question. Is there any opposition on the commission to moving forward with the application and just starting the process and adding it to the register?
I have no opposition. I do have questions regarding if these are, and it's maybe something more that should be addressed with Public Works, but if these streets are going to be maintained or kept in their current condition, are they going to be subject to ADA accessibility requirements?
As a pre-existing, I don't believe they are. Actually, as a pre-existing, but as far as corner, at the corner, if they were to be upgraded, that is a possibility. You would have to do the engineering standard curb cuts at the corners.
Is there a differentiation between the curbing and the street itself?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And so what we're talking about would be the curbing and not the
streets.
That's
right. I don't believe the streets will have to be brought up to, because they're not considered part of the accessible route.
Right.
I can
only the sidewalk.
I can send that question specifically to the construction division.
And also at the intersections, there's kind of an apron where the asphalt kind of comes into these blocks, which I think in each case, but I can't say for sure, would cover the area that would actually be the crosswalk. So that could be upgraded with sort of the standard sort of asphalt
smoother surface.
Right. In the instance, you have areas in that in the North Slope where you still have granite curbing. Where you may have that issue where they actually have to take out some of the granite curbing.
None of these intersections, I believe, have granite curbing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure about that.
All right.
That would be another thing to check.
No, it's a good question.
Does the city have the protocol in place for replacement of historic paving materials in the event that utilities need to be modified in place?
We do have a standard.
Well, the I think that in this case, if one of the utilities had to come in, the city engineer would direct that the pieces be removed or replaced as they were. That's probably as a condition of permission to work in the road bit. However, I don't know. We talked, this was a number of years ago, related to this, about developing a repair replacement standard.
Gene Grulick put together standards and to put back in the old 5x5 and the scoring pattern and
for
what
sidewalks.
To do at curbs and what to, and for sidewalks and curbs and intersections.
And so I don't, in this particular case, I think that the condition would be introduced for these individual roads if something happened, like a side sewer went out or something like that. Now, I seem to recall that one of the reasons why these aren't full of holes already is because that issue hasn't presented itself yet, because there may not be anything underneath there. And so the sense that I got would be that exactly in the case there'd be an emergency or something like that, that would be when the city would actually go into one of these roads. But if these were designated in time, they wouldn't be seeking any proactive work on them. It'd be reactive as needed. Until maybe something else got figured out. I mean, we don't have any road services in the city that are designated historic now. And I should say that Commissioner McClintock's absolutely right. Going back in that background a little bit, there was some ambiguity, I'll just put it that way, within City Hall about whether or not when the North Slope Historic District was established, whether or not streets came underneath jurisdiction. And so the 2005 code update created a 2005 created a bright line that may not have been located where people wanted to or thought it was previously located as part of the process we went through to clarify the code, because there was a number of other things that people remember. There was some streetlight replacement along I Street as well that opened an issue about how different departments within the city were interpreting the jurisdiction of the Landmarks Commission over the Historic District. Let's just put it that way. But the streets becoming excluded from curb face to curb face, basically, is what the language was, became sort of the aftermath of that. Now, within the Historic District, under the district itself, street road services are still not eligible or still not reviewed by the Landmarks Commission for changes, but they can be individually designated as landmarks, so if that makes any sense. They wouldn't become part of the district. Technically, they'd be their own thing. And so at any rate, that's sort of the circuitous process that we got here. Like, that's how we got here. So, I think that a couple of these questions... curbing, are there ADA implications there? If the city, for instance, did have to go do road service work there for some reason or another, both ADA as well as, could the city require replacement in kind or some sort of repair, or would the city be willing to develop a standard? All questions that I can send on to Public Works as we go through this, if that's the direction of the commission.
Yeah, that would have to be part of the nomination. Definitely. Any other comments or questions from commissioners? York?
I would be kind of concerned about the ongoing maintenance of these streets if they had a designation. In my 65 years, I probably have watched for 60 of those years the streets of the north end of Tacoma kind of get abused and go away. All of the nice brick curbs and gutters and so forth. Through my business, I've come to realize that the Public Works tries to work on a standardization of the repair and maintenance of the streets, and it's a sort of a one-process-fits-all approach. And we were trying to get a pervious alley put in at one point in time, as an example, and just fought like the dickens with Public Works because their standardized repair was blacktopping, and they didn't want to deal with a pervious surface, so they just kind of said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I think it would be the same thing here. I would at least be concerned about if we identified these streets as being nice cobblestone, sandstone streets that we wanted to maintain. Who would maintain them, and when would they get to them, and would they just get into more and more disrepair, and would they just kind of put up this blinder of, we're not going to, you know, okay, you identified them as being historic, but we're not going to pay any attention to them now for who knows how long. There are a number of those that need some work now, and would that just be stamped as, okay, we're never going to work on these? That's a real concern, but at the same time, I would like to see them identified as being historical streets and kind of protected from the blacktop slurry.
Yeah, it would seem like there would have to be some interaction with the street department to come up with a protocol as part of their designation for maintenance.
How to deal with brick, how to deal with the sandstone.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's the standard base for those? How do you repair them? Mm-hmm. What's the caliber do you use for, you know, relatively level, because cobblestone is, you know, such an irregular material. So, yeah.
When we were dealing with this pervious surface, we had a criteria put together by the Puget Sound Action Team that basically said you need to go down 2 feet and build the surface back up, compact and so forth, to with pervious material, put a surface like that on an alley and expect it to stay in place, and would be probably something similar for a cobblestone street or a sandstone street.
Right.
This would be a great opportunity for a visit to the city of Amsterdam, since they have a single crew that is kept perpetually redoing their cobblestone streets so that they maintain the skills and so forth, because of the number of streets that they have.
Do they contract?
I'm sure that they probably would be willing. And I also know Charleston, Savannah, Philadelphia, Boston, there are probably other cities too.
Montreal.
All deal with these kinds of streets. So it's not, sure. That can be figured out.
It's a matter of educating.
It sounds to me that, and you know, I'll pass this along, that there is a concern though that because right now the Public Works Department probably does not have a strategy for dealing with these, especially if they were under some sort of a requirement to be preserved. I know that one strategy has been to remove them and to replace the road surface, which is and then the standardized asphalt approach. But it sounds to me like moving forward with this, there is concern from the commission that these wouldn't fall off the end of the maintenance schedule or anything like that. That there would be at least consideration of a way to deal with maintaining them for the future. And I do know that there's at least one of those cobblestone streets. This really, even if you're driving a large truck, is quite a ride right now. So. Thank you. I think I've got that direction, and I can probably at least try to get some of these questions addressed for the next time.
I mean, so, Boston, there's another place that you could find, and they probably have a standard that you could crib to create a standard here in the town.
When this came up, when we were talking about this back in 08, I think it was, I did see a spreadsheet from our Streets and Grounds Department that actually had the linear feet of brick and cobblestone service streets quantified with the conditional assessment, which generally was poor, by modern performance standards, but I'm not sure what all the criteria there is. I know there are a couple of core alleys in downtown that still have brick and cobblestone on them, not very many. There's some in Prospect Hill, and then the ones in the North Slope and Stadium, and really very, very few otherwise.
Okay. I would be looking for a motion to continue the process. Would the commissioner step forward and do so?
I move that we move the process forward from the Land Board Commission to the next phase.
And schedule a first review for a threshold review. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Just for clarification. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion to a motion and second to have a first reading for the nomination for pavement in the North Slope. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. Motion passes.
Thank you.
And I believe under board business, the A that we dealt with, we just dealt with. So we have come to the end of our meeting. Unless commissioners or staff have additional items they would like to deal with.
And I'm late, so maybe you've already dealt with this. I had a question about the UWT presentation, or some comments about it in the last session. I don't know if that's appropriate at this moment or not.
I believe so.
Thank you. And I apologize for being late.
No, we understand the circumstances. I've had this happen to me.
No brakes.
Right.
I thought they just had to stop in Tacoma. They could just keep going.
Our brakes or engines are more important. This is a fundamentalist question.
The weekend after the last meeting, I was walking by the Prairie Line Trail area on the UWT campus, and I did not prepare myself for the meeting last time by walking on that area of the campus and was really unprepared for Milt's presentation. What I noticed that weekend walking by there was there were more crossing signs, dog houses, there was more iron equipment, signage, switching equipment on that section of track than I expected or realized. And reflecting on that, I was concerned about what its fate was. And I know I asked Milt about that, and it sounded like they were aware they weren't going to just toss it. And further reflection, it occurred to me that UWT came to us and they had three presentations, A, B, C. And I think I fell into a mode of thinking that it's going to be A or B or C. When the line passes through a historic district, I assume it's part of a historic district, I wondered if there might be an option D, E, or F, and that if, I guess I'd ask Ruben's advice on this, if design review is appropriate, rather than that we would approach it the same way we'd approach anyone coming and asking for vinyl windows in the North Slope, or any other review, that rather than saying, well, we like your plan A or we like your plan B, I've already basically said that. My concern would be that the degree of modification they're going to make to that area, none of the proposals incorporated anything to do with the switching, crossing standards, dog houses. The only comment I heard consistently from them was the rails will stay. You may or may not see them depending on where you are along the trail, but the rails will stay. And I think, because it's a strongly, obviously, industrial area, the only reason the industrial area is there is because of the rails. The buildings were created because the rail line was there. That it is the rail line and its supporting structures are integral to that area. And I'm hesitant to just let that pass. And what that means, a letter to UWT asking them to come back, asking for design review. Those are my concerns.
I would, as far as the equipment, I noticed that too. And what we don't have, and what has never been presented to us, is an inventory of that equipment and its location. And we can either, one, ask UWT to provide that as part of their presentation, future design review presentations, also a preservation plan as to how they are going to restore and maintain those pieces of equipment. There are several options that we have, And the onus is actually on them. We can take on ourselves, if we would like, to go out, photograph, and attach those pieces to a map. But really, the onus is on UWT, since they are doing the work.
Somebody.
Right, pardon me?
I thought they already had. They should be hiring somebody. They should
they
be hiring a firm.
Right.
Oh, no,
that's already
but
constructing.
But that absolutely has to be part of any future design plan, is how to preserve those pieces of the history of that the remaining history of that area. I had problems with the way it was presented, because it was so low information and it was sort of a glossed over version. It was so very general that it didn't really get down to details of individual spaces.
Maybe I'm thinking they were further along. I was starting to think, well, they're going to pick B and move forward, and that was going to be it. But maybe there's many other steps that they were going to proceed with.
And we, you know, we cannot be bowled over by institutions like UWT, because that's we have to stand our ground on certain issues that we feel are pertinent to preservation, and that is an area that really deserves that sort of backbone.
So I have a couple of, I took the liberty of calling UWT from some of these comments. And so I have some things I can tell the commission by way of sort of an informal response. But first of all, I'll say that the more comments they get, the better. The more feedback they get from this commission, the better. And the, you know, both informal and written is great. The presentation at that meeting, the purpose was to solicit input, and this is a design review, and it's an early stage, so they were considering it to be conceptual in nature. And so, first, there's sort of an understanding that the designs they showed didn't include enough detail, specifically the mechanics, for instance, and some of the equipment that goes along the rail line wasn't shown, and they didn't weren't prepared to really discuss it, I think. But it's the intent right now, at least as far as I'm told, is that it's not going anywhere. However, I think that the comment that an inventory and actual treatment of these things should be part of a presentation and actually stated in the plan, I think. In the doghouses also, Milt mentioned those. They also wanted to let the commission know, Milt would like the commission to know, that the Hood Street Corridor is no longer the project name. It's the Prairie Line Trail on UWT. So that was a decision that was made immediately. I did ask if the correspondence from the commission would be something, or actually what I did is I suggested that this might be forthcoming from the commission, and that's understood, and I shared the concerns that I've heard directly both with Mike Work, their director of our advancement, and with Milt. So they will be back to further develop this. There's some changes they're going to be making based on this and comments they got from Historic Tacoma and the News Tribune and some of the other public comments they received during their open house. And I think they're all kind of along the same sort of theme. The rails being critical, the equipment being a question, And I also would say that the three ABC options as they're presented, I think it's absolutely correct that yes, there's a D, E, and F, and so on depending on what the feedback is. I think that at this point it was a general direction sort of as the design team works for it, but they're going to have to take a couple steps back, I think, and based on the comments and reaction they've gotten. So they're aware of that. The other thing that I did want to point out, just because Milt also wanted to be sure to share, is the questions about the student prints, wall sign, and the Japanese language school memorial. I passed those out from Milt this afternoon. I think that some of the stuff got lost in the communication was supposed to be at the commission earlier, especially with the Japanese language school. And that's probably my responsibility as much as anything. But I pass these along without comment, as a way of responding to some of the questions that were brought up. And what's in the email that's attached to that from Milt is pretty much what I know. But I will say this, what I've heard is, you know, there's no intent whatsoever to sort of sideline the Landmarks design review process at all. That if anything, it's probably a misunderstanding, or, you know, communication-wise, maybe it wasn't presented in its proper context, like where they are in the process. And so, so they'll be back. But I do want to the commission. Well, and also I'll say this also, that any comments or concerns are absolutely welcome, either to me, to the full group. I will say that the best way though is to bring them to my attention, because I will pass them on. And if you guys, you know, if there's a point of discussion that you want to have with the commission, let me know too. Because the commission will be voting on this as a proposal. That's been my understanding the entire time. This is not, it's within the historic district contributing feature. And so it's not a sort of a courtesy review, if you will.
Yeah, I think I maybe missed that, since we didn't really have I missed the introductory briefing to it, possibly. I think the inventory idea is particularly good, given a certainly very different scope. They certainly didn't intend for the Kreidelberg sign to go away, but it did. So these are much harder to make go away, but it's possible.
If there is any correspondence, the commission wants staff to assist drafting. What I have in my notes here is that the inventory of the railroad-related equipment, its location, should be done. That in general, the mechanical equipment that is associated with the railroad should be retained. That perhaps none of the A, B, or C options really captured the direction that the commission would want to go with this, considering its importance, and that perhaps, you know, a combination of other factors or, you know, other options down the road, that that the rails are integral, and so the question of whether, you know, they'll be there, may be seen or unseen, actually is a concern. Consideration within the equipment location, or equipment, excuse me, mechanical equipment, is also how to maintain or restore, and probably enhance it back, make part of the story of the prairie line. And in a future presentation, I think that the commission would like to see a little more drill down detail. What I heard was too glossy and general in nature at this point. And it was conceptual, but I think I understand that. What I would say is there are probably some things, even in the conceptual plan regarding direction, that are important elements the commission wants to see addressed.
Right. I would, if appropriate, move that we draft the correspondence if Mark agrees to sign it.
I do. Do you need help drafting it? Do you want me to draft it, or...?
Either way, I can put together the points that I have in my notes and share them with you, and we can do that, have that to you tomorrow.
That would be great.
And if the commission so resolves, I think.
Okay.
Can I ask just for clarification? I always assumed that they were, but they do have to do a preservation plan, like they're taking photographs and developing a...
That's what I would assume. If they aren't, I would be...
It was just an assumption, actually. But
they had Artifacts Consulting do a prairie line report,
right,
on this project. But I'll note that, too.
I'm sure they have to be. But I don't think I've actually said that before. Check it.
Can we have a vote on a motion for that?
Certainly.
I could more formally move that the commission draft a letter to be sent to UWT to address the concerns and comments raised at this meeting.
Second.
We have a motion for a draft letter to be drawn up with the concerns over the presentation and the development of the Prairie Line Trail. And second, is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion passes. I can take the draft. Is there anyone else that would like to be included in the draft for comment before the draft is finalized? Commissioner House?
Sure.
Or anyone else?
I'd like to see it.
And Commissioner Eckley. All
okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Is there any other comments or concerns that we need to address before moving on?
Got a couple things not related to this after this.
Okay.
Sure,
well,
thanks.
I think we've dispatched that issue. Please proceed.
Well, just a couple of minor notes. The Wedge Historic District has expressed interest in having an ex officio representation on the commission, and so I just want to let the commission know that by code they should have one, and so we'll be putting that in a recruitment announcement. We actually have a couple vacancies already that we have to reissue for, so we'll be including that. And it is also, we are aware that a future code update should include some sort of stipulation about how we solicit for ex officios that come from the neighborhood, as opposed to an open recruitment. Marshall, and what kind of shoe?
Exactly.
And so, just want to let you know. Second thing, and this is sort of, I've got a plan set on my desk right now for 511 North K Street. It's an apartment building that this last cycle the commission determined to be non-contributing. And it has if you've been behind it, it has a carport. That's kind of a generous, I think, term for it. It's a... There is some rain shelter afforded by this planar surface that's on some posts. At any rate, the property itself is considered to be non-contributing. It's going to be remodeled. That is exempt from design review. The sort of the gray area is that there's also going to be a garage that's constructed on the site where that quote-unquote carport is. And I've been thinking about this. I was going to write up an administrative review to the commission, but it's sort of more than an administrative review, but it's also kind of odd for an accessory structure on a non-contributing parcel. And it'd be one of those, it's a gable, typical gable box garage. And so at any rate, I guess I'm seeking sort of a little bit of direction from the commission on this, because my inkling is to just write it up as an administrative review and send it to the full commission, see if anybody has any thoughts on that. However, it would be a big administrative review, if that makes any sense, because it's a freestanding structure behind this apartment building on the alley, and so I'm more than willing to put it on the next agenda for design review. But it would be expedient to write it up as well. So either way.
On our field trips, we were there and looked at that, and I don't know anything about that carport structure that is historical.
Is it that same one that we looked at?
The gray, or it's like the it's a mid-century flat roofed, and then behind it, it's a very expediently constructed structure in the back, and he's going to build a garage for the tenants of the building behind there off the alley.
Wouldn't we ordinarily do a design review for a garage?
Well, it's interesting because if it was a contributing property in the district and there was an accessory structure being built because we list them by parcel, then we would say yes. But we haven't had a situation in which someone's going to construct an accessory building to a non-contributing building in the district, if that makes sense. It hasn't come up before. So the address is listed as non-contributing, but it's a new construction.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate, maybe not devil's advocate, but so it isn't the isn't part of the purpose of the design review to maintain a consistency in design for existing structures and contributing structures, certainly, but also for any new structures.
Correct.
So if there were a new, and we had this conversation when one of the apartment buildings had a pretty severe fire, you know, so would the repaired or new building need to be go through a design review? In that case, it didn't need to go through a design review because it didn't the damage was not that great. So it seems to me this would fall in that
yes
area, that this is new structure, it needs to at least meet the minimal design guidelines for the for new structures.
That's correct, and the reason and I agree with everything you're saying. And I don't want to take up too much time with the commission. I just it's kind of an interesting one because if someone was building a new apartment on a parcel, yes, absolutely design review. If but it just struck me as a sort of a strange, but it's correct. And like I said, I don't have any issue whatsoever bringing it to the full commission. It's sort of an odd inside-out sort of design review where the modifications to the principal structure are not reviewable, but the accessory and the accessory buildings are not defined differently, but they are. They're not inventoried, for instance, in the district and so on. So, but I think that for the reasons I hear, I'll just go ahead and have it put up for a design review application.
Any other comments concerning that? I could go either way with that. As long as it meets zoning, it's going to be fairly low. It's going to be the 15 feet minimum,
yeah,
or maximum height, pitch height.
I'm a little more concerned about sort of the precedent of like not doing it as opposed to
sure
doing it. I don't think that there'll be an issue here really, but it's just it seems to me like the commission ought to do it.
It's a I think that probably in the future for administrative guidelines I'm going to make a note of this one because it'd be nicer to just make the call. Not to make the call like, oh, it's permitted, but I know this goes to the commission, or I know that it doesn't. I can see that too. That's why I've been sitting here staring at this thing, going, huh? No.
Okay, let's just be safe, and we'll have a design review. Are there any objections to that on the commission? Okay. Are there any other items or any?
I just want to let everybody know that Egyptian slideshow has been rescheduled. So a week from tomorrow, I'm going to go to the sub-area built-up planning thing. So our office, BLRB, if you're interested, 4 o'clock, Pacific Plaza, 7th floor. It'll be fun. So.
Thank you. Yeah. We, as a committee for awards, still need to meet. I'm sorry. My schedule has just been crazy, so I haven't called a meeting. Just on the list that we got from Tony, I see two possible candidates, and I have not heard from Historic Tacoma as to whether they might have additional candidates in that regard. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of us here. Do you have any preferences to meet in the next couple weeks, or any ideas over, say, 545 Broadway or Spanish Steps? Okay. that's non-committal. Well, this is ongoing. We need to collect. Maybe that's all we go with from this list. But let me know if you have a preferred time to meet and when that might be. But we, you know, if you want, I'd like to have at least three or four. We have, it looks like we have two probable. Spanish Steps, I think we've already looked at before, as well as 545 Broadway.
Also, I'll have Tony check.
Okay. I'll have to go back to my history sheet to see what we've done. She did that listing of everything we've done up to since 2001, so I'll have to look to see what we've done previously. All right. If there are no other comments, we will be adjourned. We are adjourned.